right back around.
Are you?
Yep.
You flipping the script this morning?
Get ready. Get ready. I don't know what the script is yet.
Yeah, that's okay.
Once I do, I'm flipping.
How are you, Justin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm excited.
I see that.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm excited about our next podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, our next podcast or?
Will this one release?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, hang on.
I think we release Tuesday,
you're
but we'll
excited
record.
About the 28th. I think that's what we're getting.
Oh,
to,
okay.
We don't do math, folks.
That's okay.
Or calendars.
Either way, I'm excited about
excited
the 28th.
I'm excited as well.
I'm excited about the 28th. So, yes.
February 28th.
Yes.
I posted the little synopsis of our episode yesterday, and I put a little blurb about, you know, our event. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to put the 28th in there. So Jackson texted. Thank you, Jackson, if you're listening. He texted me and let me know. So I
gotcha.
Fixed it. But so just sometime in February.
Here
at
you go.
7 p.m.
Is it 7 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay.
7 p.m.
Cool, cool.
Don't forget.
No, I'm not forgetting.
Everyone else.
Oh, I was going to say.
I think you'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You'll probably be there early. Don't mess with people's minds, man. 7 p.m.
7 p.m. on the 28th.
On the 28th.
7 on the 28th.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am excited, though. Hopefully, you guys will see us, or we'll see you there February 28th, 7 p.m. Bring some questions.
Yeah, bring some friends.
Bring some friends. That's right. I like it.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
So, yes, not about this podcast isn't about there, but I'm still excited.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it in the context, like you said, and I think it was Kierkegaard that talked about, you know, the dark night of the soul type thing. Can you think of a time when you've just, and I appreciate what you share, you know, from your, and your transparency regarding depression and so forth in that context. And I think in some ways the two are similar and maybe very much the same, but it doesn't necessarily always seem, I guess when I put it out there, dark night of the soul, what comes to your mind? And maybe it's an antiquated type.
No, I think yeah, it does come to mind in terms of maybe depression, but also kind of discouragement or doubt, or a lot of those D words, right?
Sure.
Depression, discouragement, doubt, despair.
Sure.
Any other D words? That kind of thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was, it's interesting because I guess I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a person who struggles with depression, you know, as a whole. But it was interesting. I think from my perspective, I've probably experienced what I would consider a dark night. You know, and I think for me, that process is those moments when it just seems like God may be far away.
Yeah.
You know, from a spiritual standpoint, you know, and, you know, looking back, it's been funny as I've been looking back and kind of reviewing through the Bible, you know, starting in Genesis this year. It's like, I think there's this part of us, and I think it's a myth on my part that, I think the tendency is to think that people in the Old Testament were almost clueless. You fall. And I'm recognizing that's a myth on my part, because I believe, you know, as I'm really looking back, I'm recognizing how God has shown up in so many ways for so many individuals in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know,
do you, you know, as you read those things, as you get older, I mean, yeah. Do you, every time you read it, does it feel more and more relatable?
Yeah, very
kind of
much
the,
so.
Kind of the, those guys are stupid factor goes more and more like, yeah, just like me.
Exactly. And I think that connects with it. You know, I think we, and here again, I'm not blaming it on culture, but it is almost that similar mindset to a certain degree that, you know, those people back then,
yeah,
you know, they didn't have it figured out.
And like us.
Like we tend to think, yes. Yeah. But in reality, they're just like us. And we're just like them. And I think, you know, there is this context where we can say, you know, they just didn't have what they needed without, you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. You know, Jesus had came. Now we have the Holy Spirit in that context. Yeah. And I'm thinking about it, it's like, well, as I look back, it's like God the Father, God the Son, you know, in some cases, God the Holy Spirit showed up.
Yeah.
And yet, as I'm thinking about it too, he showed up in some miraculous ways.
Yeah.
To make his presence known.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, we do have the biblical reference that offers, you know, like 400 years where no one heard from God.
Yeah.
You know, in that context. And that's, you know, I'm not saying, you know, go ahead.
You know, we translate it that way.
Right.
That's not necessarily the truth. It's just that the recording of what was happening stopped, right?
And that's where I was going to. It's, you know, it's not so much that, you know, God was silent, I don't think. I think it's more the aspect of, you know, what was recorded and those events.
Yeah.
If you will.
What he wanted recorded was enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, so, but in my personal life, you know, it's interesting because if I look at that, at that context of the Old Testament, I can recognize in my life how God's been very present at certain, you know, points in my life, certain stages, if you will.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can admit, you know, it does seem as if, and this isn't a negative thing, in the context of Dark Knight, but it did seem like I've just gone through this process of probably one of the darker times that I can remember in my life just recently. Hmm. You know, so when I think about that, you know, that darkness, it was as if, you know, more of a going through the motions.
Yeah.
Process.
Yeah.
But yet, And the interesting part too, as I think about it, it had, as we know, probably on the other side of a difficulty, it had very little to do with God being quiet as much as it had to do with me being in a different stage, mm-hmm. an unfamiliar territory, an uncomfortable place. And what did I do with that? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's probably more so for me what led to that, you know, that dark night, if you will, that dark night period. And here again, I'm not being dramatic. I don't want to sound like I'm being dramatic in that process, but I'm going to recognize it as a, you know, probably a months long type dynamic, you know, to where it just seemed like God was quiet. And the reason I bring that out there is it's like, I think most of us will experience yeah. something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And here again, I'm not saying God isn't, or, you know, Jesus isn't available in those contexts, but yet I think, you know, those dark nights have a reason, they have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, once we get to the other side of it, that time, you know, whatever that time is, time frame is, you know, I think we can recognize the bright days and how our view has shifted at that point, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, so it's like, mm-hmm. and I think that's where I'm coming from, this aspect of encouragement, you know, that says, yeah, if you're in that circumstance, and I realize, you know, we've talked about it before, how the, you know, the shortness of days and, you know, and yeah, short light in the days and longer nights, you know, can tend to affect people, mm-hmm. you know, and yet for me personally, I would say that wasn't even really a part of it, mm-hmm. you know, for me. And like I say, for me, a lot of it, I think, was life cycle stages, mm-hmm. you know, well, in context, And here again, this is just kind of the stuff that I've thought about in context. I think part of it was my mom's passing.
Yeah.
You know, from August, you know, I think some of that reality set in a little more, you know, around Christmas, you know, not having her there for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and that I want to, you know, put that out there too in the context of, you know, that's absolutely positive. That's normal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And yet I want to put that out there in such a way that says, yeah, if you've lost someone, when you lose someone, I would say, you know, to recognize that's going to be a part of that process. And I think it hit me a little harder personally as I came into some other life cycle stages, because I can respect the fact that in the back of my mind, I knew, you know, probably especially since retirement, you know, I knew that my mom was praying for, you know, us, our family, myself, you know, on a daily basis. And somewhere along the line, you know, that reality came back that those prayers aren't being offered up anymore, you know, and in my humanness, you know, it's like, crap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, that's what it felt like. I don't mean to be crass, but you know what I mean? It was like, those prayers aren't being offered on my behalf anymore. And, you know, and to be able to recognize, okay, God isn't limited by that, you know. Go ahead.
Just to pause you real quick. So much of what you're describing, and a lot of the things that contribute to those dark days, you know, there's beauty in it, especially as you can look back on those things. I mean, it's really hard to say that and think that in the middle of it.
Yes.
Coming from my own personal experience. But like, you know, this whole thing about, well, crap, those prayers aren't being offered. It's coming from a place of beauty of that you had that experience with your mother. You
sure
basically leaned on knowing that, right?
Exactly.
And then once you leaned on it this last time and realized, whoa, there's nothing to lean on.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that stark reality is,
And that's not to say that I don't have other people. We don't have other people praying for us, you know, that, because I know there are people, you know, and I appreciate all those, and I know you appreciate all those, you know, but when that was kind of that reality that set in along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think in some cases I don't have an issue sharing. I maybe it's even helpful, even, you know, the other stages that go along with that. I think, you know, definitely as we were trying to transition, you know, the house, get the other house, and certain weightedness, you know, from trying to get the other house fixed up and running into issues and no insurance, you know, coverage on, you know, the issues that came up, that was a part of it. And I would say, even as far as a life cycle stage, recognizing, you know, well, our kids in relationship, you know what I'm saying? And this is nothing against them having relationship or who they're in relationship with. I think for me, it just came down to more of an expectation of what that would look like.
Yeah.
And to recognize that in that process, in that adjustment, you know, and I realize my parents went through it with me, you know, this process, and your parents went through it with you, this process of developing relationship, and, you know, and you're building relationship with Megan and depending less on your parents, you know, that it's a normal life cycle stage.
It's a redefining.
Yes.
It's a DTR.
Yes. 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 But yet what makes it difficult is it's a redefining, but the difference between the D part is a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Because in that process, you know, and I think it was more so with Lizzie, you know, I'm just going to nothing against, but I think it was more so when in that process of transition, you know, I can understand I had never really had to not necessarily way. In other words, I could pretty much speak my mind. I could be unfiltered, you know, in that I could pretty much speak my mind, and I could recognize that, you know, Lizzie would hear that, and the context was good because it wasn't really personal. But yeah, I can also realize as that relationship, you know, her relationship was redefining from us. You know, I did need to be a little more mindful. And, you know, in hindsight, she was able to recognize some of the defensiveness, you know, and so we were able to redefine that relationship. And now it's good. It's something that we have been able to go through. But I can recognize how that initial process and my expectations not being met. Not that there was anything wrong with the relationship there again, but being able to recognize it was my expectations were different. And I think in some ways that led me to some aspects of control, which is in, you know, it's like, do you see this? Do you see that? Do you, which made it seem like I was being critical, you know, where I don't think I would, it wouldn't have come across that way if it was just someone out there that we were both observing. Did you notice that? You know, because it would have just been, no, I didn't observe that. And no, but that makes sense, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just been interesting as I've kind of gone through this process, if you will. And I think, you know, there's other I'll call them strivings on my part, you know, around the holidays, you know, with people. I think it gets a little different, you know, from a workload dynamic and just stressors from work, you know, that I was probably taking on myself, you know, in that context. But being able to recognize that, yeah, there, and I think part of, I didn't even, as I think I appreciate what you're saying. I know I appreciate what you're saying. And so often in the middle of it, we don't know what we know until the end. And when we get to the end, we realize how part of us is back. You know, it's that ability to say, okay, you know, whereas before for me, I'll be honest in that process. For me, it's like, you know, I could find myself oversleeping, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and holidays, I realize the schedules change and so forth. But, you know, after being back, it's like now I'm just ready to, you know, my initial 4 o'clock, 4:15, it's like I'm on. I'm the, you know, the bright days are here, you know, and I'm able to be back into who I consider myself to be.
You know what it kind of makes me think of?
No, but I'd love you to tell.
Because this is just hearing you talk about kind of your dark day situation, it, you know, and reflecting on my own, it reminds me of when a child is playing on the floor perfectly happy, and he looks up and his mother's not there. He goes, where's mom? You know, and, oh, she had to run, whatever. And then that lighthearted, like just not a care in the world, all of a sudden there's care now. And there's like, they can't be peace. They can't go back to the way it was. Right? Because there's this concern, this like, and I feel like a lot of times it's very much feels like that with God in these situations, the darkness, the despair, the discouragement. You know, the depression. It's like, well, where's Dad? Because I could feel his presence, and I would just go about and do my thing, and everything was light and good, and, and I could just do my thing knowing he was right behind me. And then I turned around, I was like, then I started experiencing things that felt like he wasn't there, and I turn around, I don't see him, where'd he go? You know? And then you start looking, and it feels more and more like he went to the store, you know? And now you're like, well.
And he didn't take you with him.
So now you're like, okay, all right. Okay, I guess I got to figure this one out then. You know, you kind of start to take on personally.
No, I hear you.
Those cares of the world and those things that you need to do, and depending a little bit less on dad, you know.
No, I hear you.
And, you know, I think, you know, we can go on and on about the reasons. I definitely think God does these things for a reason. I believe that the valleys are integral to our faith, you know.
I see them as part of the progression as well.
Yeah.
You know, of faith, the progression of faith, the growing in our faith. Yeah.
Yeah. But to say, I guess what I would want to say clearly is that I don't believe the better faith you have, the more faith you have, the less values you'll have. Like, it's not that you should be able to have enough faith to get rid of valleys, right? Like, that's, I wouldn't want to convey that. And I don't think that's what you meant, but I would just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
I think as much faith as you can have, you're still going to go through those valleys, but the faith is what can help you walk through those valleys.
Sure.
Of course.
Do you remember what you shared like last week or the week before at CR about faith and valleys and the absence? Do you remember what you shared as far as it's, do you remember a little glimmer is coming to your mind?
Valley, but I definitely,
it wasn't valley,
yeah,
but it was the, you know, faith isn't kind of the faith isn't abs, isn't the absence of difficulty.
Right. Faith isn't because I don't have any doubt and I just easy believism and it's just, it's easy to believe and it's all there. Faith is in contrast to the doubt you have.
Sure.
Like the greater faith you have, the more you're believing in spite of those doubts, in spite of those discouragements, those despairs, you know?
Sure.
I believe that's when faith is at its strongest.
Agreed.
Which is the opposite of what we kind of believe, right? Our faith is at its strongest when I believe the best and I don't have doubts. And I just don't believe that's true. I believe our faith is at its, it's working at its best when all of those things are in our face and we're having to look at them and say, yes, but God.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. No doubt. And I think, you know, and I really appreciate the analogy of the, you know, the son and the father. Well, daughters are of course included with the relationship to the father, but you know, for me personally, I was thinking, you know, it, in a lot of cases, what I was experiencing for me, and I think that part of what led to that dynamic was my desire to, when I didn't necessarily feel God or, you know, see God in some tangible way, it was, I ran ahead looking for him, you know, in my striving, you know, well, it's got to be this way and this is what has to be done. And therefore it's up to me to do it now all by myself, you know, in that kind. Yep. And I think that's what actually part of what, and I think, you know, here again, it's all in combination, you know, it's like, well, I need to get that figured out. I need to get that figured out and I need to get that figured out.
Yeah.
You know, and these were all bigger things, you know, based on circumstances and, you know, life cycle stages that it's like, this is all new to me, you know? So I'm respecting the fact of in hindsight, there again, you know, the self-reflection, if you will, how all these things kind of came together in that. And that's where, from that perspective, I want to offer that hope. I want to offer that encouragement that yes, there will be the time when we get to the other side. And, you know, it's not just a dark night indefinitely.
Yeah.
You know,
though in the middle of it,
yes,
you'll often be convinced this is my new reality.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And you've mentioned that before, you know, in that, not that it seems infinitely long, but I think it was along that term. There isn't the ability, or it's difficult, let's put it that way, to see that there is an end in sight, especially if it's gone on for, you know, a month or, you know, and that's not to say, you know, that circumstances can't go on for years.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
And that's where I'm, you know, that's where I'm thankful to be able to recognize, okay, yeah, you know, it's been an interesting months, you know, I'll call it, not necessarily, you know, it wasn't anything, I don't think it was anything that necessarily settled in, you know, right in August or, you know, right at that time, you know, I think it was a reality change or redefining, as you put it, that kind of set in with other things that brought about that. And it's not that there weren't, you know, moments of joy, you know, in that, you know, celebrations, you know, Christmas and family and, you know, and John and Lizzie both had a birthday here, you know, within the past month, you know, to where that's all been good. But yeah, mm-hmm. there was that energy, excitement that wasn't able to be.
It was tempered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Limited, governed to a certain degree. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, and for me, I think I noticed that more so in how I view the morning time,
mm-hmm.
yeah. you know, for that, for personally, for me, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So this is your turn to flip the script now. I see the wheels turning. Well, but
yeah, what's funny is I had a lot of thoughts. And
yeah.
then they would come and then I'd be and then they would just disappear.
Oh well, that's okay so too.
I think that's okay. One of the thoughts was how often we don't even know the structures. We don't necessarily know the structures in our life that prop us up.
Sure.
Right? And when those slip or lose, mm-hmm. we lose them or things change or that structure shifts,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden our life is kind of in scramble. It's kind right. of like the mom leaving the room kind of thing where like,
sure.
why don't things feel right? Mm-hmm. And as you walk through the situation, kind of like what you described, mm-hmm. you kind of get through and you can look back and go, well, you know, my mom died and then helping them transition and kind of those realizations as they came in mm-hmm. place and then life cycles. Like as you're able to look back and go, oh, that structure shifted, that mm-hmm. one was removed, mm-hmm. you know, and the things that I was leaning on, like they're not there. So I have to like reposition in my sure. seat and figure out, you know, how to stand strong, like how to stand tall and not be leaning on those things now.
Sure.
Because even if for some reason I was able to get them back, let's say mm-hmm. you had a rift in a relationship and
sure.
you knew that it was repairable, but like for right now, it's just tough, right? Like
yeah.
even if you perceive the opportunity for that structure coming back, you recognize something, right? Like that there was something about that I was leaning on that causes me to kind of start to fall, to slip
mm-hmm.
When I don't have it. And I think that's natural, and I think that's okay, and I think God gives us those things to help us lean. Like, I think
sure.
that's his goodness, but I also think sometimes he reminds us of our frailty and of our weakness and of our need for him and says, yeah, not that thing. You don't get to lean on that anymore.
Sure.
Now what are you going to lean on?
Exactly.
Right?
Or who are you going to lean on?
And we start scrambling, like,
yeah.
What can I do? And like you said, maybe striving to yep. solve it or, you know, and what you were saying about I would almost describe what you were saying, like kind of the scramble, right? Like
yeah.
in our scramble,
mm-hmm.
depending on your number, if you go back to the primal questions, right? Like,
sure, okay.
Your scramble might like look different in those dark times. And for markets, work harder.
I hear you.
Right? It's like, or you know, strive, right?
Yep.
For others, it might be don't get out of bed.
That could be tied to the seven purpose.
Yeah.
You know, because I think, sure. you know, when we think about that dark night, you know, my purpose, you know, can tend to.
Yeah.
You know, be affected, and
I feel fainter.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm not saying that's the same for everyone based right. on that question.
Well,
but
if you're
I think
a success person and you're in a dark time, then it feels like you're being less successful. If
or a
you're
failure.
A safe person,
sure, what? Could be a failure. You
failure.
Could see
yeah,
yourself
yeah.
as a you know
right.
failure in that
yep.
process.
Or if you're a safe person and all
yep.
of a sudden things it just doesn't feel safe again, like
yeah,
you know, I think your numbers can kind of dictate how you slip into that dark time and
sure.
then what the scramble looks like in that dark time. Kind of the modus operandi
yeah.
right, that you slip into as a result of. But the bottom line is like God desires intimacy with us and sometimes he will walk out of the room so that we recognize like what's not right here. Sometimes he'll pull things out of the room that we're leaning on too much to
sure.
say, yeah, not that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and let us reset. You know, and we're going to reset hopefully with a little bit more faith, a little bit more dependency on him. But we also might find another thing to lean on instead.
Sure.
Right. And he's a good father. He lets that happen. But I do believe that's a big part of it is just when those things in our life shift
mm-hmm.
and we're left going, whoa, what's this thing? sure. life. It doesn't make sense anymore without yeah. that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Death of loved ones is a really good example. Loss of jobs, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of those life things. Or it could just be a something as simple and small as your best friend moves to a different state for yeah. a job thing. And, you know, it's sad and all that. And you didn't think it would be that big a deal. But all of a sudden it's like, life just feels different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was saying, you know, as it's kind of funny, I don't want to make light of those dynamics, but, you know, just having, I was working with a young family as they were, you know, working with their child about not nursing anymore. Mm. And I think about it in the terms of that pacifier, you know, when yeah. when a pacifier goes away, it's like, hey, what's going on yeah. here? You know, that kind of thing. That's, you know, yeah. as you were describing yeah. that, you know, I think we can have multiple pacifiers to mm-hmm. a certain degree that we, you know, mm-hmm. lean on for self-soothing, yeah. you know, and I think, you know, when those structures, if you will, yeah. constructs, you know, change or shift. Yeah. It can be different.
Yeah, now what do I self soothe with? Yes. Yeah. That's a good.
Yes. How do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yep. I might not have even realized yep. how that thing, yep. you know, met a need and helped me self soothe. And now that isn't here, you know, and I was thinking yep. about it in Saint, like you shared with, you know, the prayers of my mom, you know, yeah. being able to come back to that dynamic that says, okay, you know, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us continually yeah. before the Father, you know, it's like, yeah. yeah. Cause I think, you know, so much of what we think mm-hmm. about or how we think about does come down to the constructs we have, mm-hmm. you know. And I think we have to at times challenge that spiritual, challenge our human perspective based on, you know, a biblical perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of
yeah,
being able to visit that.
The Old Testament, like you said, provides a pretty good mm-hmm. demonstration of just the frailty of humanity. And again, when you read it,
sure.
when you're young and whatever, it's like, these idiots. You had God right there in a cloud and fire, like
yeah.
pouring water out of rocks for you, you know, mm-hmm. dropping food from the sky. You guys are so stupid. You know, it's like, the older I get, I'm like, holy crap, I am the same.
We doubt God's faithfulness.
Yeah. Like yeah. he just dropped food from the sky in so many ways, right?
Sure.
Like I can see his provision in my life so many ways. And yet it's like, okay, God, what about today?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
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 We're tired of cornflakes, God. We yeah. want something a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's a good metaphor for my struggle with mundanity and just like, okay, it's been enough Tuesdays.
I hear you.
I need more Fridays. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of the same idea for me. But yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. A lot of good thoughts.
Well, no, like you say, and I just part of what I have been doing, you know, in the self reflection in some ways too, is if you wanna call what I describe as depression, I'm okay with that. But yet in some ways it wasn't necessarily what I would call depressive based on what I've heard from other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. so it's not like you can't say, Mark, that was depression. And I wouldn't say, you know, well, okay, I can see that, but it's, you know, I've really honestly wrestled with that, you know, whether it would be considered that, you know, when you take into context, cause yeah, it was definitely a sleep dynamic. You know, I just desired to sleep a little more, you know, which I can understand can be a sign mm-hmm. of depression, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like I wanted to spend the entire day in bed. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, mm-hmm. I was missing that spark for mm-hmm. me, you know, for that early morning. And I think, you know, it was also reflected from a spiritual dynamic that my quiet time didn't necessarily have all of the
the juice.
This, yeah. Sure.
The pizzazz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I get it. Yeah.
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 The, you know, the spirit-filled dynamic, you know,
yeah.
of saying, oh, wow, that's cool, you know, or thank you, God, you know, that kind of, it just wasn't there. It was, for me, it was more of a going through the motion, which I think was still very helpful, you know, in that process. But, you know, looking back, I can recognize, you know, it's like the energy wasn't there. The desire wasn't there, you know, and, you know, that's so by all means, you know, you can push back, but I still respect the aspect that from my perspective, it wasn't like what I hear from other people. And maybe that's the closest I'll come.
It's funny you asking about it being a therapist.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but I get it. I get it. It's just, it's like, I'm not going to tell you it's depression. You're the thing. But no, the thing that kept coming to mind is, you know, your word, the continuum, right? And I do believe depression is a continuum.
I hear you.
And I think, you know, I've used the river analogy a lot.
Sure.
Right. Yep. It's this idea that depression at its worst kills you.
I got you.
Right. At its worst. It convinces you or, you know, you're in such a state of mind that it kills you.
I hear you.
Right. So that's one end of the continuum. That's the worst end.
Yep.
And I think
that's the hopeless, completely hopeless end. Yes.
The only hope is exit.
Sure.
Right.
I hear
you. That's, that's the extreme.
To get out. If I'm continually in this
river, you're just tumbling, you're drowning, and it's just, it's, you need relief
to the point where it seems as if there is no end.
Correct. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And I mean, it depends on how you, that reality, what's reality? Is it perception or is it what's in front of you? And I think that's one thing that I struggle with in the worst parts of depression is like, whether reality is true or not, what I feel is more real than that. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So it's like you were saying, it seems like there's no hope. No, there isn't.
Right.
Because that's all, you know what I mean? It's limited to what I'm able to perceive, you know?
Sure.
But you're still right. Like there's, in, you know, I have hope, right? I have proof. I have the manna he's provided, food from heaven, the quails, the water that he's burst from rocks, you know?
Yeah.
So in those moments, those are the ropes I'm clinging to while I'm tumbling in the water kind of thing. And then I just wait for him to yank me out and he does, you know? But anyway, back to the analogy, like I've described it before, like there's sometimes I can't see the river. I can't hear the river. I can't hear the rushing over the rocks. It's just, it's not a thing. And in those moments, I'm like, was that even real? You know, like I can't even remember what a river looks like, what it sounds like, you know? So I'm like, maybe it was, maybe I'm just crazy, you know?
No, I hear you.
Maybe, whatever. Yep. And then it's like, you know, struggling with seasonal.
Sad.
Yeah, sad. Seasonal affected disorder. Yep. Yeah. Like it will come around fall and it's pretty standard that, oh yeah, that's what the river sounds like. Like,
sure.
I can hear it, you know, and sometimes I can get a glimpse of it and I can say, oh yeah, that's what it looks like. Sometimes I, you know, I use that analogy of like, sometimes my toes are wet, right? Like, it's like, well, it's definitely here. it's not a thing. Like, I'm definitely a little wet.
My shoes are a little squishy.
Yeah. And that's when I start going, hey, you know, friends, maybe pray a little bit because I'm feeling that water over my toes, that kind of thing. And again, I do think it's a continuum. And I think every person struggles with some level of that continuum at some point in their life, whether you want to call it depression or not. You know, it's, I hear the river, I see the river, it's causing, you know, those, a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
Right. When you hear the river, you don't see the river, your thoughts are complete. It's that lightness that you described.
Yeah.
Where you got that spring in the step or whatever. And I think, but again, I'm not a therapist, but that's kind of my perspective is that a lot of people will say that they struggle with depression and you can never doubt that. I don't.
Yeah. That's,
doubt anyone's experience. Yep. Right. But I can definitely say there's a gamut of experiences you can experience. And I, like you said, the sleep thing, the lack of passion, like all of that speaks to those. I mean, you know, those are a lot of the symptoms. So,
yeah. And it's interesting. And as you're talking about the, you know, perception and reality, I don't know, maybe you've heard of it, Gestalt. It's basically the aspect where, you know, the sum of these individual things collectively create a greater meaning, you know, and it's the stuff that's right here, you know, as I put my hand over my face, it's the fact that you're still in the room, but all I can see primarily is what's right in front of me. And I think that's where your squishy feet, your wet socks are concerned, because you get to that point where all I really know is I got wet socks. And the last time I had wet socks, it led to this, it led to that, you know.
And whether it led to that or not, wet socks suck, right? So it's like, I mean, from a sensory, just gestalt perspective, like it's, to go back to your particular situation, it's really hard to be passionate about doing the thing you're doing when your socks are wet.
Exactly.
Right? Like, cause you're like, this is miserable, but I guess I need to keep hammering, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I guess I need to keep, doing therapy with people. Like, doing the thing that Mark does, but it's like, it's real uncomfortable. This is not like I remember it being before, you know? Cause all I can think about is these squishy socks, you know? And I think that's,
And I appreciate what you're sharing, you know, and there, I'll be on full transparency. What I should say is I'm hearing where you're coming from in that, you know, I have these factors in place and, you know, that being said, it's interesting how we can lose sight of hope. And I think it's difficult at times to be authentic, to be transparent about the wet socks.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's unfortunate. And you know, part of our, you know, we had an F3 individual who, you know, ended his life, you know, that kind of thing. And that's, that's, I suppose, I hadn't really thought about it, you know, that was definitely during that time. You know, and I, you know, had different people reaching out to me to a certain degree to kind of, you know, process that. And, you know, so that, that had some weight, but I think for me, the sad part of that was that that individual couldn't see or didn't want to see or admit or, you know, recognize, didn't want to recognize the fullness of the supports they had. You know, and I'm respecting the fact that that's difficult. Don't get me wrong. You know,
so I'm going to challenge the words want.
Right. Go ahead.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's the hand in your face thing. As much as I want to see you, I can't because my hand's in front of my face.
Right.
So I want to see those supports.
I spread my fingers apart a little more.
But maybe I didn't know I could spread my hands a little bit.
And that's,
maybe, or maybe, you know,
And I think that's where I'm coming from, because I was hearing, you know, at the funeral and while processing this with people, you know, all of the supports that they did have. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's the anger that I experienced, because it's like, you know, to on one end of the spectrum, let's do it that way. You know, I actually had people saying to me that selfie's SOB.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's like, you know, leaving all of, you know, so I'm not, it's not that I'm not sensitive to the want, don't get me wrong, but I think it is like you're saying, that ability, and I have to be able to, I have to, in this moment, I'm also aware of the fact that most of the people around me wouldn't know that I experienced a dark night at all.
Right.
Because I wasn't necessarily, you know, so I'm here again, I don't want to come across as judgmental. You know, in that, and it may, and I apologize if it did.
The pain on this side of it will cause that.
Sure.
If that,
that
makes
isolating.
Sense. Yeah. Like it's frustrating to be on this side and say, I was right here, you know?
Yeah.
And, I think, I've had, you know, lots of talks with Megan about this, right?
Sure.
Cause this is what this is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, she's always right there. And I know she knows that. I know that.
Yep.
And yet sometimes it just doesn't feel that way. You know?
Sure.
And I think what you're saying about recognizing the supports around you is a discipline.
I agree.
That you have to learn and you have to practice.
Yep.
It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come free.
Agreed.
And when you practice disciplines, sometimes they don't have, like, they're just doing it because you know you should.
Sure.
They don't have the impact that you would want from them. Like getting up and working out. There's some days you don't feel like it. There's some days it feels like you didn't gain anything. You almost feel like you went backwards.
Yeah.
You did less than you did yesterday.
Now my underwear are wet.
Right.
You know, not only do I have wet feet, but now I just got wet underwear by working out in the dewy grass.
Yeah.
You know, I mean seriously, you know, I'm hearing where you're coming from because in our culture, there isn't this instantaneous, and that's even part of what I want to offer, you know, in this process, you know, this wasn't just a, you know, we're talking about a month's long dynamic here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to reverse that, and I'm hearing exactly what you're saying, you know, where I'm trying to do this one thing, I'm trying to reach out.
Right.
And it just seems like it's just as uncomfortable, if not more so, than it was before. So why
to use
bother?
Your wet underwear analogy. Yes. It's like I had wet feet. Then I did the discipline of reaching out. I knew I should. And the person said, well, I'm busy. And frankly, just read the Bible.
Sure.
Right? Or whatever. Just
stop it.
Yes. Stop it. Right.
Yeah.
And so then, my hands slapped. Right. So like you said, now my underwear's wet. Now I'm having to deal with that every day. And it's like, do I try reaching it? Well, why would I do that? You know, why would I try that again? And again, it is a discipline. And I think what I've learned for myself is that it's a discipline that I still have to do.
Sure.
The reaching out is specifically a discipline for me. And sometimes it doesn't feel better as a result of doing it. But I know over all the times that I've struggled a little bit, depending on how close I was to the river, every time, it wasn't a guarantee that every time I reached out was better. But if you look at the average of them all, drastically better because of that, you know? And then also like gaining a healthy support system, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other half of the battle is like if you reach out to the wrong people, you're going to get your hand slapped and that's going to make things worse. So you really do need to build a very tight community of people who know how to help you. And part of people knowing how to help you is you communicating.
Exactly.
When you're healthy.
Yep.
You know, not too far from.
Yeah, you can't wait.
Not too healthy.
Yeah.
Because then you can't remember what the river looks like.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And here again, if I may, I'm kind of maybe this is how I see it. You know, we talk from two ends of the same spectrum, you know, in some ways. And I think, you know, as I mentioned the other individual and I was thinking, you know, more about you, I've been able to recognize how you have, you know, started to be able to reach out more and, you know, and you and I'm. It's an honor to be in that group, if I may, that you reach out to when you're starting to get wet feet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in that process, and you know, that's when I hear that, I know it's important. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's imperative at that point. Because I know what that takes for you to be able to ask for support in that process. And it's an honor to be able to support you, you know, and Megan in that process when those times come, because I can just recognize the value in it.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate you, you know, reaching out in those moments to do so, because I know it's like the wet underwear. Now your cheeks are wet too, but that's all right too. You know, those are positive things.
Yeah.
But I just that's how important it is. I mean, I think for anyone, you know, to be able to reach out, to look beyond what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing, and have those supports in place that can basically say, okay, help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's, you know, and that may mean, you know, just shutting your mouth and listening.
Yep.
You know, that may be the help that's required at that moment.
The thing, people, if you have someone like that in your life, what you need to understand is there's no fixing or yanking them out of the river.
Yeah.
If you want to help them, your best bet is to get down and hold their hand in the wet.
Sure. Yep. You might get wet too.
You might get a little wet.
Yep.
You're probably going to be fine.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's, if you really want them
yep.
to come, you know, be no, comforting to them and a resource to them.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It doesn't look like, well, let me yank you up here on the shore. It's nice and dry up
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Just get out
Why
of there.
Why wouldn't you want to be
yeah,
up here?
Just, there's rocks, right? Just step right there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's...
And quite often, I'll be on, you know, in the process of working with individuals, I'll use the mud puddle, you
yeah.
know, not necessarily the river.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes in the midst of the wet feet, you know, we find ourselves just sitting in a mud puddle.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that's what it takes is someone coming alongside and being
yeah.
willing to sit in the puddle with us, you know, and not being concerned. I mean, like you're saying, you're going to get wet either way. For crying out loud, we typically shower at least once a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we get wet all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
But yet there's yeah. something about that wetness that doesn't seem right, does it?
Right.
We're not comfortable with it.
Right.
And yet it doesn't mean that there isn't.
Yep. And when I'm down in the puddle or the river, I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you. Stay up there.
Exactly.
You know, like, but just get out of my space.
If you're not going to come here with me.
It's hard enough to not drown. Stop telling me how not to drown. Now I'm focused on what you're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
so, yeah.
Yeah. So back to what you were sharing, though, I definitely believe that there are principles that apply throughout the gamut of that continuum, right?
Sure.
Like, and
agreed.
Reaching out, having a solid support system is just so crucial, and then using it is so crucial.
Agreed.
Because we do need to be able to lean. We're so as you were talking, it made me just think about it, you know, with our friend from F3 and just kind of that whole thing, and how you look from the outside in and go, he had what he needed, you know.
I hear you.
It just re-emphasizes for me the importance of that second lesson in CR, which is powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to believe we're not.
And
I think the most important thing, especially if you struggle with any kind of mental health thing, is to lean into that fact.
Sure.
I'm powerless. So what can I do about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to, you know, depend on my higher power. That's the most important thing. Secondarily, he gives me support systems or he, you know, he calls us to that. And so for me, that's what I've recognized is like during those times I don't have what it takes and therefore I need others to, you know, hold my arms up, you know, pray for me, listen to me, be there for, you know, that kind of thing. And I have to do my part, which is the discipline, which is getting the stupid words out of my mouth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that combination is a recognition of my powerlessness to say, well, I have to do this because I'm powerless against it, you know?
Sure.
And I think sometimes that can be the struggle, is thinking I should have what it takes.
Sure. Or I can figure this out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's in me somewhere, or it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Everyone's telling me it should be there, so I just got to keep looking, and you're not going to find it. It's not in you.
Right.
You know?
And if you're at that point where it seems as if you have no supports, you know, now is the time to start building the supports.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, yes, I respect the fact. And I think, you know, that was part of the equation, you know, where my mom and the prayers were, because it just seemed like that support had shifted from my construct, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, to be able to recognize that, okay, maybe that's... It's what I perceived, but it may not necessarily be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
You know, in the full context of things. And I think, you know, being able to have, you know, other supports, other people, you know, God first, of course, you know, but then his word and, you know, and other people to be able to say, okay, is that accurate? Is that, you know, and I think, you know, because I do recognize how so often in the process of what I do, you know, it's like, it's unfortunate that I'm the person that most people have, you know, that not most people, I'm an option it's unfortunate that I'm an option where certain people are concerned because they feel as if they have no one else who can listen and they don't know who else to talk to. You follow me? That's
it's you mean it's an unfortunate that you're the only option.
Yes, yeah. That it seems like they've I don't get me wrong, I'm happy to be a support. But I feel for people that are in that situation where it seems and it seems as if I am the only support. You know, I feel for those people.
Yeah.
And I, so that being said, I want to put that out there to where if you feel as if you don't have a support, you know, by all means, talk with someone. I don't care if it's a counselor or, you know, but find someone as you're describing, you know, it's that isolation that's, you know, that I'll call it a lie, if you will, that says, I can't talk with anyone about this. Or the other, another lie at times is no one would understand, no one's experienced what I have, you know, and granted, no
part
one
of that
has.
Lie is believing that that fact even matters.
Sure.
I shouldn't talk about it because no one can understand how I feel means I shouldn't talk about it.
Sure.
No, that's not true.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there are people who do understand, but even the people who don't, if that makes sense, that doesn't mean I shouldn't talk about it.
Exactly.
But you, again, you should be careful who and when and all that.
Yeah.
Is to depending. But yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think there's going to be people listening to this who know exactly what we're talking about. And are like, I need to do something. And then, and then there's going to be the other half. They go, interesting, you know?
Sure.
Like, and
yeah.
Yeah. It. Yeah. I'm trying to think of how to put this. I feel like there's.
You're thinking.
I'm thinking. It does feel when you have struggled with tumbling in the water that no one else can understand except those who have tumbled in the water. And I believe there is some truth to that, if that makes sense. That being said, the other part of this is that you believe that's your reality.
Sure.
And it's not. The reality is you, just as much you on the shore, healthy, not being able to hear the river. They both exist. And that version of you is around the corner, you know?
Sure.
And when you get out there, you're the same as the people who don't understand.
No,
you also don't understand.
Yeah.
I look back a week after kind of that jump out of depression, I go, who the heck was that? Like, it's happened so many times. It's like, and then I don't mind talking about it because I feel like I'm talking about a different person. It's like that Justin really struggled, man. It was rough. And I don't mind talking about that version of me, the past version.
Sure.
The middle of it, I'm just like, I don't, that's not who I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want, you know, it's so interesting. So anyway, if you're in either category, if you're in the category don't understand or whatever, it's a little bit foreign, just put it in your pocket because no one's above structures being removed.
Yeah.
Right?
Put it in your pocket and be thankful for the opportunities, the supports you currently have.
Yes.
Because I think in some ways that makes a difference, you know. And,
right.
You know, be thankful for those who have taught you in some ways maybe to have some of those disciplines.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a beneficial thing. We, you know, there's a lot of things. I think there's a lot of unimportant things we teach our kids, and there's a lot of important things that we, you know, don't necessarily recognize need to be taught.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That emotional intelligence type stuff, you know, it's not always that someone's there, but yeah, I think, you know, people on the other end of the spectrum, you know, might be able to say, yeah, I don't understand,
yeah,
you know, but
and speaking of teaching things and not knowing, like there's a lot of people who were taught how to deal with these mental hangups because their dad would go fishing with them. And they know, like, a good day in the water solves, right? Like, you know those quotes.
Sure.
And a motorcycle is another one, like, they call it wind therapy.
Oh, okay.
But, like, you know, I think some people will never understand the depths of depression because they were given for free some tools that work.
Sure.
And they don't know how well they work.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Oh, like, yeah.
Getting out on the water, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Because I like what you've said many times, which is people who go through things like you do naturally do the things that you do. I don't know. How do you say that?
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because everything you do makes perfect sense based on what you've experienced and where you've come from.
Yes. Thank you. I need to write that down. I've butchered that so many times in the last.
I just had to check to make sure that was the one you were referring to.
You nailed it. Good job, Mark. You said your thing right. But yeah, so I like to think that like my struggle with depression is exactly how it would be based on what, you know, the things in my life, that kind of thing. And and if you don't, I also like to think, well, of course not, because you were given the right tools and, you know, therefore that bottom has been capped, right?
Sure.
To the depth that you can fall.
Or so it would seem.
So it would seem, yes. Mm-hmm. I also, which is a very good point because, again, if you remove enough structures,
sure,
you know, you look at Job,
life cycle stages, you know, because anytime we're redefining that aspect of acceptance, identity, security, or purpose, you know, there's going to be,
you think about midlife crisis,
sure,
yeah, that kind of thing,
yeah,
postpartum depression,
sure,
yeah, it's good.
So, those kind of things, no, I would dare say no one is immune.
Right.
Let's put it that way. You know, yes, I believe some people have been gifted, you know, taught disciplines, you know, that are beneficial, but So yes, appreciate you, you sharing from your end of
and
the
you
continuum.
Too, Mark. Yeah. Thank you for sharing yours.
Yeah. No problem.
I know one person for sure will appreciate you sharing more this time.
Okay.
That'd be my wife. She's always like, you need to let Mark talk more.
Well, no, I appreciate what you share as well, by all means.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that being said, by all means, know that we care about you as our listener. And we share these things in a desire to offer you hope and encouragement in the midst of difficult circumstances and the ability to have that hope to know that the dark nights are not indefinite.
That's
that
right.
They are indeed can be followed by bright days.
Bright days.
Where we're able to recognize, that God is faithful in that process. So that being said, if you're in the midst of a dark night, by all means, reach out, find support, you know, don't be afraid to contact us. And, you know, if you're in the midst of a bright day, by all means, enjoy it and be grateful and give God thanks for that. So that being said, I thank you, Justin.
Yeah. For real though, if you do want to reach out to us, you can reach us at us@howiseeit.click.
Sure.
Or info.
Well done.
That's how we see it.
That's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.